Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe b'midbar Sinai. B'midbar Sinai b'oil moyed b'echad l'achodesh hasheni b'ashana hashenis. On the first day of the second month of the second year, with Tzeisam Yeres Mitzrayim, you're leaving the land of Mitzrayim, Lamer. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Se'u'es Rosh Kaladas B'nei Yisrael v'mishpachosam l'veis ha'vaisam. Count the heads of all of the gathering of the B'nai Yisrael for their families according to their father's house. The Mispar Shemos, the counting of names, Kol Zachor L'gul Galoisam, every male according to their heads. Now, Tosfos in Masechtas Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis writes that the Parshiyos were set up in such a way that Bamidbar is always before Shavuos. Why is that? Because Hayoyis Parshas B'chukayse has in it the Teichicha with the Klolas. So they wanted to have a hefsik between the Klolas and Zman Matan Tereseinu. Zman Matan Tereseinu is a Zman of Bracha. The Torah is the source of all of our brachas, and therefore they didn't want to be same of Parshas B'chukayse with the Klolas right next to Shavuos Matan Torah, so they were mafsik with Parshas Bamidbar. And that's why Parshas Bamidbar is always between B'chukayse and Shavuos. This is what Tosfos says in Masechtas Megillah. Moshe Feinstein says another pshat, very beautiful pshat, Zokter Moshe, that as we approach Matan Torah, you know, the Eitz Hara plants machshavas into a person's brain. Who am I? And what am I? And what am I doing being mekabel the Torah? Why is this such a great yontif for me? The Torah is so vast that I'm so little and I hardly have a chance to learn anything, and how much did I accomplish already? There's much greater talmidei chacham than me. Is my Torah really chashuv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So for that, Chazal wanted to be kaveya. We learned Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar teaches us how chashuv every year is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Su'u esroish kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Count every single yid. Every single yid is chashuv. And I want to know the number. Ruchaskel Sinus said that people count their money for different reasons. One fellow wants to know how much money he has, and the other one has a special pleasure in counting it because it feels good to count the money. And even after he knows how much he has, he'll count it over again because it feels good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how many B'nai Yisrael there are with one glance. But the etzem counting of the B'nai Yisrael is a pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because every single individual is chashuv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly counts us, because every single individual counts, every single individual is chashuv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should give us chizuk. As we approach Matan Torah, there's no such thing as I'm nobody, there's no such thing as my Torah is not chashuv. Every individual is a world of Me'atzmai, and in the person's own world, he is the only person there, and he is tremendously chashuv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Dr. Ramesh, this is why Parshas Bamidbar always comes before Matan Torah. I know I've said this story once before in one of my shiurim here, but it's kedai to say it over again because it fits very well with this Dvar Torah from Rav Moshe. It's a maisa that happened not long ago. In Camp Morris in the mountains, there is a koil for mechanchim. Rabbeim, in the summer, they learn in koil. So there was a certain younger man by the name of Rabbi Pluchak that took part in this koil. And one day a fellow walks in, Baba Boss, with an art scroll gemara, and he sits down to learn by himself. And this Rabbi Pluchak befriended him. Every day when he came, they spoke and they schmoozed, and he confided to this Rabbi Pluchak that he wasn't well, that he never had a very serious illness. And Rabbi Pluchak encouraged him. The summer went on, and he came in to learn every single day. Towards the end of the summer, he came in one day, looked very dejected, very down. Friend asked him, what's it all about? He says, well, first of all, he got not such good news, not such a good prognosis about his sickness, that's first of all. But second of all, he says he was thinking, he says, you know, my learning, what kind of a chashivas does it have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, Mamele, you're a Rebbe, you're a Talmid Chacham, you know, you're a Torah is Kosher, but me, you know, so I learn a little bit every day,
chesivas could that possibly have by Hashem?
So this fellow said that he had siyata the Shemaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu planted in his brain exactly what to say, something that he had just read. The famous conductor, Arturo Toscanini, famous rules conductor, and someone was doing a biography on him, and he was interviewing him. And every couple of days he came to interview him for this biography. One day he calls him, "Can I come over tonight to speak to you?" So he says, "Tonight you can't come over, it's not a good night." He says, "Why not?" He says, "Tonight I'm listening to a symphony orchestra on the radio and I have to concentrate fully. I can't have any distractions." So he says, "Well, okay, it's fine, I'm not going to distract you. I want to watch the way you look at it and I'm not going to bother you." He says, "Fine, come over." But he... the given moment, he turns on the symphony and it plays, and this conductor is very deeply engrossed in the symphony and he's watching. After it was over, about 45 minutes, an hour, the conductor asks him, "So what do you say to this piece?" He says, "Wow, it was beautiful, it was amazing, it was tremendous. What do you say to it?" So he says, "It was good, but it was missing something." Says, "This symphony calls for 40 violins. It was missing one violin." She says, "What? How in the world can you tell that it was missing one violin?" She says, "I'm telling you, it was missing one violin." So he didn't believe it. This guy didn't believe it. And he called the conductor of that symphony and he asked him if anybody was missing from the symphony. So he says, "Yeah, one violinist was missing." He was, flabbergasted. He goes back to Toscanini. He says, "I don't understand. How in the world could you have recognized that there's one violin missing from the symphony?" She says, "You don't understand." He says, "You appreciate music, but that's where it begins and ends. You appreciate it. You like a good piece, but that's it." He says, "I'm a conductor. So I'm responsible for every piece in the orchestra." He says, "I know every sound in that orchestra. And if one sound is missing, I can tell right away it's happening." This younger man told him, he says, "To us human beings, we don't understand one person less learning, one person more learning, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master conductor, and to him, every single sound of Torah makes a difference." So the guy was mamash, he was nishtaymi. Anyway, the fellow was nifter a few months later. His family said that every night when he came to learn, he opened up his gemara, he says, "I'm learning for the conductor." Says, that's the pshat over here, Zohar Moshe, that this parasha of Pikudim teaches us there's no such thing as my Torah is not choshev. Every person was created as an individual, and every person is counted by Hashem, and every person is choshev by Hashem, and every person's Torah will be his physical and chemical makeup. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master of that, and he's really the only one in the world regarding himself. He has his own personal world regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore everybody has their own Kabbalah Satayr. The Chidah brings down that the word Bamidbar Sinai is the Gematria 378, and that's the same Gematria as Vishalim. Midbar Sinai is the same gematria as Bisholim in peace. What's the significance of that? What does Midbar Sinai have to do with peace? Let it go that the Medrash tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he was waiting anxiously, "When can I give them the Torah ready?" Torah was created 974 generations before the world was. Hashem was waiting. The first place they rested after they left Mitzrayim, he wanted to give them the Torah, but he couldn't. He saw there was bickering amongst them. There was no shalom between them. They weren't yet ba'achdus. Can't give the Torah yet. They went to another place, another camp, and again, he wanted to give the Torah. Again, he saw that there's a little bit of bickering. And on, finally they came to Midbar Sinai, to Har Sinai, Vayichat Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor, Kulom Ki'ishachot B'leiv Echot. Oh, now they're takeroi, now they're fit for Matan Torah. And that's what we say, Torah Tziva Lono Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us the Torah. But my Russia, when is it an inheritance? When are we zeichet to that? If it's kehilas Yaakov, if it's one kehilah, if it's one gathering, if we're all ba'achdus, kol Yisrael areivus ebezeh, we help each other out, then it's shy for it to be a my Russia. Then we can get the full benefits of the Torah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for. He only gave it when we were all ba'achdus. And therefore, the Midbar Sinai and B'sholim goes hand in hand. The Gematri is 378. It's only when there is Sholim that we can get the full benefits of Torah. There's another pshat in the connection between B'sholim and the Midbar Sinai. Every person faces a struggle, faces a war that goes on within himself. It's a war between the guf and the neshama. The neshama strives for higher things. The neshama strives for a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the guf pulls it down to the taivas, to the gashmiyus, the wants, the gashmiyus, the retainers of Olam Hazeh. Most of the reason for people's dissatisfaction in this world is because they cannot give the neshama what it needs. As the Medrash says, Marshall, that to a princess that married a farmer, she came from a royal palace where she had all the riches in the world. She marries this farmer and he takes her to his barn and he takes her to the house right next to the barn. She's very unhappy. This is not what she was used to. She wants to make her feel good. He brings out his prized pumpkin. Here, take this. And she cries. This is not going to make her feel better. So he comes and he gives her his prized melon. It's not going to make her feel any better. Then he comes and he brings her his prized pig that he fattened up for a bunch of weeks. And again, she starts crying. Nothing that the farmer can give her is going to satisfy her. It's the same thing with the guf and the nesham. The reason for people's dissatisfaction is because they're so shakuin in Yonei Olam Hazeh that it cannot fulfill the needs of the neshama properly. And that's the constant struggle that goes on within a person. It's a tug of war of what takes up his time, the neshama or the guf. In the Midbar, Klal Yisrael did not have that struggle. In the Midbar, Klal Yisrael was mufka from Gashmias. They didn't have Daikas of Parnosah. They had the mun coming down every day. Some lustfully bolsa me'alecha. Their clothing grew on them. The Anani Akavi took care of their needs. There was the Be'erishel Miriam. So that struggle didn't exist. The struggle for Parnosah and for Gashmias, that didn't exist. They were able to focus totally on Ruchnias. That's why they were known as the Dar Deya. They were Zeiche to a Madrega in Deya that no other generation was able to be Zeiche to. That's why by Midbar Sinai is Begamatria Shalom. They were at peace with themselves. The regular struggles that we go through, that's not a struggle that they have to face. They had other nesiyos. Life wasn't a picnic over there either. But as far as the struggle that we go through, they were Bishalom. They didn't have that struggle. They were able to focus on Ruchnias. The Pasuk says over here, Su'u es Rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael, l'mishpechosam l'veis avosam. According to their mishpachas, according to their father's home. We know that when it comes to being miyachas someone, by Klal Yisrael, we go b'sur the father. The halachas of family go according to the father. Yerusha goes according to the father. Brothers related to the father's side inherit each other. The mitzvah of Yibum goes after the father's side. Brothers from the father's side have the mitzvah of Yibum. And the Shevet goes according to the father, not so by Goyim. By Goyim, the Yichas goes after the mother. The marriages that are usher by Goyim to relatives, they are relatives from the mother's side, not from the father's side. So what's talking the difference? Why is it that by Yidden, we go after the father's side, and by Goyim, it goes buster the mother? So the Vilna Goyim says a very novel pshat. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Midah, in Masechtas Kiddushin, there are three shutfim in a person. Three partners in the making of a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the father, and the mother. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the neshama. The father gives the white part, the bones and anything white in the person come from the father. And the red, the blood with the flesh, that comes from the mother. After a person is nifter, the first thing to decay, the first thing to go is the flesh. Flesh and the blood, that goes. The bones, they decay later. And really, eventually, there's nothing left of the person except for one thing. That is a bone by the name of Luz. the luzbal. That's the only thing that really lives on forever. And from that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mechayim Mason, the person, based on that luz. It comes out like this. By Goyim, the natural thing to do is they should be miyuchas after the mother, because they were born out of the mother's womb. They were once one body together with the mother, and maybe they're miyuchas after the mother. And they don't have the luz bone that lives eternally. They're not going to have kliyas hamesim. But by a yid that has this luz bone, and the cause of the yid living on eternally, the cause of the yid having a kliyas hamesim is the luz bone that comes from the father, the mele by yid, and we are miyuchas after the father. Because the thing that gives a yid a kiyuv physically, and the thing that's going to be greater than the yid to have the kliyas hamesim, that is the luz bone that comes from the father, the mele of mishpachosam leveis avosam. There's a mavidike, fascinating thing that we see over here in the counting of the Shvatim. It says in Kapitel Aleph, Pasuk Lamites, Pikudeyem Lamate Don, the counting for Shevet Don, Shnayim V'Shishim Elef U'Shvameyos, 62,700. In the numbers of the Shvatim, Shevet Don was second only to Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda was the Shevet of Malchus. They had the greatest population. Second to Yehuda was Shevet Dan. And this is the reason why they brought up the rear, because they had the biggest population. So say they walked in the back, and they took up the whole area of the back. And any time people that were traveling left things behind, or they lost things, Shevet Dan would always return the Avedas. They were spread out all over to be able to return people's Avedas. So in population, Shevet Dan was from the greatest Shvatim. Shevet Binyamin had a population of 35,400. That is close to about half of what Shevet Dan had. Now this is an amazing thing, because from the children of Yaakov, Shevet Binyamin had 10 sons. Binyamin had 10 sons. Dan had one son who was a cripple. He was deaf. Uvnei Dan Chushim. So one would think that if Binyamin has 10 sons and Dan has one son Chushim, what hope is there for Dan Shevet to survive? And Binyamin surely would be from the most populous Shvatim. And you see, Mamash, the exact opposite. Binyamin was from the smallest Shvatim, and Shevet Dan was from the largest Shvatim. Zokta Chofetz Chaim, you see from over here, you could never go according to your own logic and your own seichel of how something is going to turn out. How a family will turn out, what the hatzlach of a certain family will be, what the hatzlach of a certain shevet will be. What appears hatzlachadik to the eye doesn't necessarily last down here. On one hand, it could appear that one shevet is more matzliach than the other, and a couple of generations down the line, the other shevet could outnumber it by kemat dov. Medrash Taki tells us, Medrash says, that Dun came to Yaakov Avinu and he asked him to be Mispalel, please. He was afraid. He only has one son and he's a cripple at that. What chance do I have that my Shevet should survive? And he asked Yaakov Avinu to daven for him. And you see from over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillos of those that are downtrodden. And Chushim ben Dun, the one son that was deaf, and he ended up giving up off a Shevet that was the most popular Shevet, Kemat, just second to Yehuda. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says in the Sefer Bava Basra that the reason why he was called Chushim is because Chushim is a word used to describe bamboo shoots. Bamboo shoots are very, they grow quickly and they grow in tremendous amounts. So Chushim ben Dun was named that because Adarav, that represents a big population. As a matter of fact, the Torah already said Benavua Lechachila. It was Miramis that he's going to have a big population. It doesn't say Uben Dan Chushim. It says Uvenei Dan Chushim. I'll shame the Osid that from Chushim will come a big population. But again, you see from over here, number one, if a person does not see any big Hatzlacha, he shouldn't be Miyayish, because no one knows what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for him for generations later on. And what happened? A person that sees the Hatzlacha shouldn't think it's going to be like that always. A person has to continue davening for Hatzlacha. Here's another Ha'ara in the population. Kopikude Halavim, Asher Pakad Moshe Aaron, Shnayim Ve'Eshrim Elav. The Levim only had 22,000 people. So the Ramban asks the question, how is it possible? The Levim were counted from a child that was a month old. He was a month old, and from a child that was a month old, they only had 22,000 people. And the other Shvatim were counted from 20 years old, and they had much more than Shevet Levi. How could that be? Now, Bish wondered, after they started doing the Avodah already, you could say that many of them died because they were around the Orin, and sometimes they might have not given the proper respect to the Orin, so they were Nifter. But this was talking about over here before they even started the Avodah. So why was Shevet Levi less than any other Shevet? So the Ramban says, I'm going to read the Kipshat. The Ramban says that Shevet Levi was the only Shevet that was not in Shibud Mitzrayim. The other Shvatim worked hard in Mitzrayim. So they received a special bracha. The Chasheria Anuay say, Ken Yirba Ken Yifrit. Because the Mitzrayim B'davka tried wiping out the Yidden with giving them hard avodah, they were zeichet to a special bracha. Chasheria Anuay say, Ken Yirba Ken Yifrit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a special bracha of multiplication. Shevet Levi, as great as they were, but they didn't have the Shibud. Memela, they were not zeichet to the bracha. And as great as they were in Ruchnias, they were not zeichet to the bracha of multiplying like the rest of the Bnei Yisrael were. Chatzka Levinstein says, you see from over here a Murray that you think as well. Sometimes a person is given hardship, sometimes a person is given nisyonis, and you know, we wonder why is this our lot. But you see Lehepach over here. The fact that the Bnei Yisroel were in the Shibud Mitzrayim, that was a cause of them multiplying, that was a cause of their Shevet getting bigger, because with the Yisurim and with the nisyonis comes special bracha min HaShemayim. This is the Ramban's pshat. Rav Elchanan says another pshat as to why Shevet Levi was the smallest of all Shvatim. He says it's Yodua that when you have wheat, the psoilus of the wheat, the straw and the chaff, is much greater than the amount that we actually use from the wheat. By fruits, the psoilus is greater than the fruit itself. It's like that in the world also. The Goyim outnumber the Yidden by who knows how much. The Yidden that are the most chosher, their population is very little. And the Goyim that are on the Chitzenis, the part of the world, there are a lot more of them. The Mele and Klal Yisrael is also the same thing. Shevet Levi, that they're the ones that teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. And they were the ones that did the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. They were the most chosher in Klal Yisrael. And the rest of Klal Yisrael is sort of like the outside chalik of the fruit. And Shevet Levi is the core. The Mele, they were the least of all of the people in Klal Yisrael. As I said, Rav Elchanan, Pshat, and why Shevet Levi was the smallest. I want to finish off just with a machshava on Megillas Rus. We lay Megillas Rus on Shavuos, and many reasons are given why we lay Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Medrash tells us, HaSefer HaZeh, this Sefer Megillas Rus, Ein Boi Boi Tuma Boi Tahar, there's no Tuma in it, there's no Tahar in it, there's no Hilchos Tuma Boi Tahar, Loi Isser Boi Hetzer, there's no Halachas of Isser Boi Hetzer. Basically no halakas, and even the halakas, there are halakas that we learn, are just mentioned along the way. The main sefer is not to teach me any halakha. Why then was Megillas Rus written? To teach me the schar of Gaimlei Chasodim. To teach me the schar of people that do chesed. What was the chesed done over here? Number one, Rus did chesed with Naomi, she helped her out. She did chesed with the Mesim, with their husbands. They did chesed with also Boaz did chesed with Rus. But the greatest chesed that's mentioned in Megillas Rus is when Rus comes and she proposes to Boaz that he give her chalitza or he do yibum. He says to her, hey, taft chazdei cho'achron min arishan. The chesed that you just did to be willing to marry me, an older man, instead of going after younger men, and you were willing with Shem Mitzvah to marry me, this chesed is the greatest chesed you did. Levilti lechas acharei habachurim, not to go after the younger men. Rus was 40 years younger than Boaz. Boaz really didn't have much to offer her as a husband. She could have gotten a husband that was more her age, that would be more lefi her level. But for the sake of what was right, for the sake of establishing Malchus Beis David, she was willing to marry someone 40 years her senior. For that, Boaz said, "Hey, taf chazne cha'achron min arishay." And for that, Rus got gebal v'yischar. David HaMelech comes from her. Shlomo HaMelech comes from her. The Beis Hamikdash is due to her efforts, and the Melech HaMashiach is due to her efforts. And that's a tremendous lesson to Klal Yisrael. Because Rus at the time that she did this, she didn't see much bracha. Rus saw poverty, Rus saw tzara, Rus felt like a mayavia, she felt like an outcast. The FLP came, look at what she was zaycha to. And that's the connection between Rus and Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Bnei Yisrael, you did a mayri dike chesed. Koyama Hashem, zocharti lo chesed n'urayah. The same lesson that's used by Rus, a taf chazdei cha'achman and a rishayim, that you went after Boyaz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same about Klal Yisrael. Zocharti lo chesed n'urayah. I remember the chesed of your youth, avas chul v'yisoyech, the ahava of our bridal days. Lechtech acharei b'midbar b'eretz lezeruah. You could have had a much more glamorous life. You could have had a life of comfort. We didn't have to be Meiser Nefesh, but you followed me in the midbar, the Eretz Lezeruah, you were Makabel the Torah. That is a tremendous, tremendous chesed daima to the chesed of Rus. So Mela on Matan Torah, on the time of Matan Torah, when we remember our going out to the midbar to be Makabel the Torah, that correlates very well with Rus, and the same way by Rus, she was zeicha to a Meir de Kiskar after hardship. This is a chizuk to us that after the Mesiris Nefesh we put in, after living in Golos for so many years and remaining loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we in Yeretz Hashem will also be zeiche to Mayudik and Mayudik Yisrael. Well, said Lovay, have a good Shabbos, see everybody, and I put the other. What?
Could it be the fact that Hashem had a tremendous zeicha? He was the only one that said.